coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Hello, American families. Welcome to this week's episode of The Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel. And if you love your family, care about them deeply, and want to learn how to protect them in every facet of your life, then you've come to the right place. We got a great show for you today, and I know that you're going to love it. We've got a great show, but it's also, I don't know, a confusing show for me. I have feelings of ambivalence about today's show. Here we are in the height of spring. The birds are singing, the sun is shining, the mushrooms are growing, the flowers are blooming. And one of my friends has passed away. I want to dedicate this week's show, episode 77 of The Home Defense Show, to my friend Dave Neeson. Dave was a taxidermist out of Yankee Springs. He's also the former state handicap director for Ted Nugent United Sportsmen. I got to know Dave back about 20 years ago when I was the state director for Ted Nugent United Sportsmen of America. It was, we shared some great times. Dave passed away, and we will be talking more about that in segment 4. Now, this is spring. It's also a time of life. So, this week we'll be talking about life and death all in one episode. So that makes it a little challenging for me, because we also, man, we've got some great things going on right now. I was out mushroom hunting with my brother yesterday, and we got so lost. We were out there in the Berry State game area in Yankee Springs, and geez, we were out there for 4 hours, and at least 3/4 of the time, we didn't really know where we were. We had a GPS, but the GPS wasn't really making any sense. And so we just wandered around, and, you know, through the process, we found about 200 morel mushrooms, which, you know, it's not a bad consolation prize. I've got them all cleaned up, and they're on the counter. Maybe I'll include a picture of those on the website. But we had a great time. We had just been to Fort Custer National Cemetery in Battle Creek at Dave's funeral. And military funerals are kind of tough because, you know, they have the 21-gun salute. And I'm from the Marine Corps, and it's a tough time for me. But I got to tell you, spring is spring. We've come off a long, hard winter. And I'm getting ready to rototill my garden here. But first, I had to take it into the shop and get it fixed. Apparently, there was a colony of mice inside my rototiller over the winter. And they took the liberty of chewing up all the wiring inside my rototiller. So, but that will be fixed next week, and I'll be able to put the garden in. Segments 2 and 3 this week, we will be interviewing Rick Veist. He owns the 3 Flowerland garden stores in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and he has just written a new book called I Just Wet My Plants, and it's an awesome book. I got to know Rick as I was helping him get that book into print and on Amazon and get it published, but you're going to love talking with Rick Veist. He's a fun guy, and you'll understand that pun later on. Okay, let's get into the news now. I'm going to bearingarms.com. Here's a headline. Support for armed teachers comes from unexpected place. Science. Imagine that. When we talk about armed teachers, anti-gun activists, and even some who are ostensibly pro-gun in most instances, roll their eyes at the notion. They argue that teachers have no business being armed and that they don't need the added responsibility of a firearm. and those are just the ones being complimentary towards teachers. Others have argued that teachers will start shooting minority students as soon as they get a chance. Gosh, why does everyone on the left think that everyone on the right is a racist? I don't get that. However, support for the notion comes from a surprising place. The Chicago Tribune reported last month that armed teachers aren't such a bad idea after all. Here's a quote from that article. When President Donald Trump suggested arming teachers would make schools safer, many educators recoiled. As the first month anniversary of a mass shooting at Parkland, Florida High School is marked Wednesday, the debate has gone nationwide. If you had a teacher who was adept at firearms, they could end the attack very quickly, Trump said last month. While some rolled their eyes, a graduate research project at Purdue University's Homeland Security Institute bears out the president's theory. Oh, that's interesting. In 2014, Purdue students analyzed FBI active shooter data from past mass shootings and created a detailed computer simulation model that replicates a school assaulted by an active shooter. The study concluded that arming school personnel and locking doors can slow down a shooter and possibly prevent killings. Well, isn't that's what I've been teaching for a long time, and most of us. In their study, the Purdue students created four scenarios and ran them through the computer models that followed an active shooter in a school. It's available at researchgate.net. So if you want to read the whole thing, go to researchgate.net. They learned what could seem obvious. If a police officer or other armed school official confronts the shooter, fewer casualties are likely to occur. Dietz said the gun debate is so polarizing, his students sought to use science to inform people in the middle of the debate. What we found was profound, said Dietz. He said a single resource officer, even an armed teacher in a defensive position between attacker and students, can reduce the number of victims by up to 70%. Dietz and his students have been presenting their findings at seminars across the country. They're using models now to study stadiums and sporting events. You know, why do we need science to prove common sense? Everyone who knows anything about guns or tactics knows that the only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. Whether it's a school resource officer or you want to train the teacher, do what makes sense to whatever that school is. You know, if you've got an SRO available to you and you don't want to deal with the politics, then put an SRO in there. But he's got to be there all the time. That's the thing. I can envision, you know, some kid going, okay, well, the SRO, he's here, you know, at the start of school and he's here at the end of the school, but during the day he's gone. They can adapt to that. Teachers are always there. That's the strength of the teacher, is they're always, always there. You know, in places like Utah, teachers can go armed and they don't have school shootings there. I'm sure it's probably just a coincidence, but that's the way it is there. The article goes on, to me, it's just common sense. You know, you want to stop the bad kid with a gun, then arm the teachers. And if you don't want to do that, spend the money for a school resource officer. But, hey, you got to do something. Don't just let these little kids run around shooting people. Okay, let's switch gears a little bit. We've got Rick Weiss coming up from Flowerland. So let's switch gears from crime to vegetables. Here we've got this is an article from Garden.org. Garden.org. Headline reads, Food gardening in the U.S. at the highest levels in more than a decade, according to new report by the National Gardening Association. During the past 5 years, there's been a significant shift toward more Americans growing their own food in home and community gardens, increasing from 36 million households in 2008 to 42 million in 2013. That's a 17% increase and represents the highest level of food gardening in more than a decade, according to a National Gardening Association report. The report shows that More young people, particularly millennials, ages 18 to 34, are the fastest growing population segment of food gardeners. Ah, that's interesting. You know, one of the nice things about gardening is that there's not a whole lot of politics involved in gardening. For me, man, when I garden, I get out there, I put my hands in the dirt, I relax, kind of takes away the tension. I mean, yeah, it can be hard work if you're growing food for, you know, five people like I am. But still, it helps me untie the knots. And I don't know, maybe this is a little crazy, but when I jam my hands down into that soil, it's like I'm returning to my roots. No pun intended. It's like I'm rooting myself to the earth again. And, you know, I love that. It's non-controversial. It's something that the left and the right can do and not have a whole lot of arguing about it. Now, granted, when I'm gardening, I'm armed. I mean, not that I need to be gardening when I'm armed. I do it anyways. Additional highlights from the five-year report include 1 in 3 households are now growing food, the highest overall participation in spending levels seen in a decade. Wow. 76% of all households with a food garden grew vegetables. A 76% of all households with a food garden grew vegetables. What else are they going to grow? I've never understood flower gardening. I know it's, you know, flowers are pretty and all that, but you can't eat them. I don't grow flowers. The National Gardening Association associates the rise in food gardening to several reasons: an improving economy, strong national leadership, including the launch of the Let's Move initiative and White House Kitchen Garden by First Lady Michelle Obama. I don't even want to talk about her. Okay, well, hey, that's an upbeat, positive thing to talk about, and we will use that to segue into segment 2 and 3 with Rick Veist from Flowerland. You didn't know this, Rick also has, for the past 25 years, he has hosted the Flowerland show on Wood Radio in Grand Rapids. It's a very popular 2-hour show, Saturday mornings on Wood Radio and iHeartRadio from 9 to 11 a.m. I've listened to it quite a bit. It's a really, really good show. Now, we've got Rick Veist coming up. We got a 2-minute break. Go ahead and check out our sponsors, elitefirearms.us and also firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical. And when we come back, we will be speaking directly with none other than Rick Veist from Flowerland. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
My name is Siege Coriel. Welcome to the Home Defense Show with my dad, Skip Coriel. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. We're speaking with someone special today. His name is Rick Veist. Rick, welcome to the Home Defense Show.
Hey, thanks, Skip. Thanks very much for having me on your program. Look forward to chatting with you.
All right. Rick, for the benefit of the listeners who don't know you yet, there's maybe one or two out there. Go ahead. Tell us a little bit about you as a person, professionally, you know, a little bit of personal stuff. Tell us about all things Rick Veist.
Well, I have a website, thankyouverymulch.com, and that stems, pun intended, I am a punster, from all the work that I've done in media through the years to help people with plant material. I always tell people I give them permission to get out there and kill some plants, because if you haven't killed any plants, you're not trying hard enough. And it's been fun doing live radio, 25 years now on Wood Radio, and across the U.S. on iHeartMedia, streaming online. And in addition to that, a lot of TV work. I've been Green Thumb for for WZZM TV 13, Mr. Green Thumb, for about 20 years now. And then CEO of Flowerland Stores in West Michigan. So I certainly have had my hands in the dirt for a number of years and enjoy it. I enjoy both people and plants. So when I can combine the two together, it's a kick in the plants for me.
All right. Now, you just came out with a new book. Go ahead. Tell us about your book, Rick.
Well, the book is I Just Wet My Plants. And the approach here is, again, basically giving people permission to kill some plants, to fail at first, fail often, and then fail judiciously, but then own your failures. And so the landscape is a lot like our lives. We make mistakes. It can be messy at times, but sometimes it can be just brilliant and absolutely beautiful. And that's the whole premise of I Just Wet My Plants. It's not a memoirs book. It is not a reference book. It's instead giving people permission to enjoy both life and the landscape, and analogies that are drawn between the landscape and life, to allow us to experience it together, whether it's vegetable gardening, trees, lawns, whatever it may be. And we all learn from each other's experiences because, like I say in the book, you can't possibly live long enough to make all the mistakes yourself. So you might as well learn from somebody else in the process.
Well, that sounds like a good idea. And trust me, Rick, when you give us the advice, go out and kill some plants, I have killed my share of plants. You know, I never did it on purpose. You know, would that make it like involuntary plant slaughter?
Oh, beautifully done, Skip. I love that. Yes, you are so right, my friend. And that makes you an entrepreneur, as I call it on my radio show, because, you know, you're branching out. You're going out on a limb, and that's where the fruit is. So you got to do that. You're going to make some mistakes in the process, but you know what? It's all right.
Well, Rick, I bow to the master of puns. So, Rick, my audience, this is the Home Defense Show. You know, we primarily talk about how to protect your family against physical dangers. You know that we're talking about, you know, guns and alarm systems and, you know, how to harden your home against crime and things like that. But, you know, when I met you, I thought, you know, I want to get this guy on the show because there are other things that can harm your family that aren't physical threats. And, you know, I would like to talk to you about how do we protect our family against hunger. And to me, that means like gardening, right? That's one of the ways that you can protect your family against hunger. You can plant a vegetable garden. So,
oh, you're so right. You're so right. And that's so important, Skip. You know, if you think about it, 40% of the produce produced and consumed in the U.S. in the early to mid-1940s due to victory gardens came from people's backyards. And now we're starting to see a resurgence interest in that, knowing where your food comes from and being self-sufficient in that way, protecting your family by growing a vegetable garden, knowing where your food comes from. You know, there's a number of people who believe that food comes from drive-through windows, and they don't know any different. And it's so important to get your hands in the dirt and to recognize where the food comes from, and have the ability to produce some of it yourself. What a concept.
Well, yeah, you know, it's just, I'm a hunter as well. I deer hunt and squirrel hunt, rabbit hunt, all that stuff. You know, it's the same kind of a deal. People think that meat comes in cellophane at the store, and that's really not the case. Someone has to grow this stuff, right? So,
you got it.
You know, I suppose my garden, you know, I plant a garden every single year, you know, and there's an interesting story. You know, when I was a kid, you know, way, way, way back, you know, during Bible times, you know, my mom and dad, we had like six kids in the family, and we grew all of our food, all of our vegetables, and canned it and all of that stuff. And it was a big garden. And I hated working in that garden. And every summer I'd be out there in the hot sun, and we'd be rototilling and hoeing and weeding and harvesting and all that stuff. And for like 10 years, every year I'd go, I will never do this. I can't wait. When I turn 18, I will never, ever do this again. And, you know, I think maybe 5 years, you know, after I moved out of the house, I was back to gardening again. And I just found this satisfaction. It's like, hey, here's something that I can control. And I just love the getting my hands down in the dirt and smelling the dirt. You know, it's like, is there anything that smells better than a whole tray of tomato plants? They just have that smell, and I just love it. What is it about growing vegetables that people like?
Well, we know that just being surrounded by plants in general lowers cortisol levels, lowers stress, and, of course, dirt also has antidepressant qualities to it. So that's the problem, Skip. You nailed it on the head. You know, a lot of us as kids have to mow the lawn or pull weeds or work in the garden, and we view it as work, and yet as we get older, we recognize the importance of working in the dirt and in a garden. And you mentioned the aroma. Growing some tomato plants and simply planting some basil around those tomato plants, I believe that the tomatoes taste better and smell better if you grow basil around tomato plants. But I don't have scientific evidence to back that up, Skip, but I'm standing by my position.
Well, it's very Italian of you to say that.
And in addition, I think your point is really well taken, and that is for your listeners out there who are thinking about doing this, I would recommend starting out relatively small at first. Don't bite off more than you can chew, no pun intended. In other words, it's better to be proud of a small garden than to be frustrated by a big one. So I would recommend starting out small, and usually we tell folks, Skip, that a good idea is to start with a tomato plant and a pepper plant, because both tomatoes and peppers are what we call the gateway drug to gardening. If you have some success with the two, then you're probably going to stretch out and try some additional things, whether it be spinach or cabbage or beans or beets. But start out with a tomato plant and a pepper plant if you haven't done it before, and get yourself a few successes under your belt first.
Well, you say tomatoes and peppers. I hear salsa when you say that. I'm a big salsa guy. Anything hot and spicy, oh, man, I am all over it. What is it about tomatoes? What nutrition benefit do tomatoes have?
Well, there's real nutrient benefit to tomatoes, particularly if you grow them in your own garden for your family. And we always say healthy soil, healthy plants, healthy you. You know, think about it. These plants are extracting nutrients from the soil. Plants are amazing things because, unlike animals, they can produce their own food. Animals are out there eating your plants, but vegetable plants, or any type of plant for that matter, can produce its own food via sunlight, photosynthesis. Talk about a healthy thing, and the nutrients that it extracts from the soil. And that's why, if you're going to get into this and get planting, just add liberal amounts of organic material to the soil. You know, it's the old adage that you need a moist but well-drained soil in order to grow plants or grow a vegetable plant. And really, the key to success in doing that, Skip, is organic material mixed 50-50 with the parent soil. Just be liberal with it. I'm talking about leaf compost, leaves, cow manure, that sort of thing, peat moss, any kind of organic material you can get your hands on.
You know, I was over at my neighbor's house a couple of weeks ago, and I'm surrounded by farming. This is a Dutch farming community that I live in. I'm surrounded by pig farms, you know, dairy farms, chicken farms, you name it. And I'm talking to my neighbor. You know, I told him, I said, well, I'm getting ready to plant my garden. I said, you know, you might have some extra manure. And he says, yeah, sure. Just, you know, just pull your pickup truck here. I'll get the front end loader. I'll give you all you want. And I said, well, thank you. And it's not every day you can talk your neighbor into giving you some crap. And he certainly, you know, that's what I like about, you know, being out in the country. All your neighbors give you crap and they don't even charge for it. But anyway, you know, well, you know, we're about out of time for this segment, Rick. Before we go on break, go ahead and tell the listeners where they can go to learn about all things Rick Feist.
Thank you, verymulch.com or ijustwetmyplants.com, new book out, I Just Wet My Plants. And the links there are there for you to order the book. And if you do so, thank you very much.
Okay, now we got a 2-minute break. When we come back, Rick, I'd like to talk some more about preparing the soil and then initial planting. Just hang with us here for 2 minutes. Folks, you got a 2-minute break here. Head on out, check out our sponsors. Go to leapfirearms.us. See what Larry Jackson can do to help your family pick out the best firearm for home defense. And then go to firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical and see what they can do to help protect your family against the criminal justice system. Okay, this is Skip Coriel and Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Felix Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Always use guns safely and wisely. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if life was like the movies and the good guys always won? In today's world, if you're forced to use your firearm to protect yourself, you will need protection. Firearms Legal Protection is here for you. FLP provides you with seasoned, experienced attorneys that handle your criminal and civil matters as a result of you protecting yourself. FirearmsLegal.com provides its members with uncapped attorney's fees, bail bond protection, and coverage in all 50 states. We are not a reimbursement plan. You can access uncapped attorney's fees for as low as $10 a month. Firearms Legal members are provided with educational services, training videos, and access to our vast national attorney network. While you're protecting yourself, let Firearms Legal protect you.
Listen up, folks. This is important. There are plenty of legal protection services out there, but none will protect you as well as Firearms Legal Protection. This is the one I use and the only one I recommend. Visit firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical and protect your family now. Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. We have been speaking with Rick Feist. It's a new author of I Just Wet My Plants. Now, Rick, when we left, we were talking about, you know, soil preparation. You know, it's like you can get sandy soil, you can get clay. How do you prepare your soil for your first garden? Because you gotta break sod pretty much, right?
Well, yes. However, bear in mind that if you're just starting out, consider raised beds or container gardening, a lot of people going that route. Then you have control over the soil that's put in these containers. And in addition, the beauty of growing vegetables in a raised garden or a container is that being above ground, the soil warms quicker in spring. And that brings up another good point, Skip, and that is if you're going to try some vegetable gardening, first of all, pick a good sunny location. Most vegetables need at least 6 hours of direct sunlight a day, so make sure to plant in a sunny location. As we mentioned in the first segment, plant in a good soil, and if you're planting in the ground, which is what I call the parent soil, make sure to work in 50-50 liberal amounts of organic material, particularly in fall when the leaves are falling off the trees. That's a great opportunity to incorporate them in the soil. And then pick a stable environment. You know, maybe something that is, if not completely protected, somewhat protected, and has access to water, because water is going to be so very important when you grow your vegetables. In addition, supplementing with nutrients. And there are many wonderful nutrients out there right now that you can add organically that have micronutrients in them, including, in my mind, one of the key micronutrients, calcium, because calcium is very, very important to cell wall development of fruit, whether it be tomatoes or zucchini.
Well, how do you get calcium into the soil?
Again, through these micronutrients that you can purchase in an organic fertilizer. I love Tomato Tone or Garden Tone. Some people will try doing it via eggshells or other organic approaches. And there is calcium in our soils, but sometimes a little boost of calcium helps to avoid the cracking and zippering of fruit. Because not only do we want it to taste good, Skip, we want it to look good too. Which brings up an additional super important point, actually, too. One, you got to make sure to water properly, and if at all possible, watering at the base, at least an inch of water per week, and then spacing your crops properly. You got to have good spacing because we need sunlight and good air penetration and circulation between the plants so that we don't get disease. So important to stake, support, and space properly, especially if you're one of those people who's going to overdo it. Let's say, for example, where one zucchini plant would be sufficient, you get kind of excited and you plant 12, and there's nothing tougher than giving away zucchini and cucumbers in
yeah.
August, Skip.
Yeah.
You put it on someone's front porch in a bag, ring the doorbell, and run, you know?
I think one zucchini plant in the U.S. could feed China for a year. Those things, man, they just keep growing and growing. They're the gift that just keeps on giving, you know?
You got it. You got it.
Okay, so, you know, you got peppers, you got tomatoes. I've always had a lot of luck with green beans, yellow beans, wax beans. Those things, boy, you plant one row of those, and you can feed a small army with those as well. Talk to us about beans.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up, because beans are an important part of any garden starting out. I'm going to say beans and root crops, because you can repeatedly get a harvest from those plants, and you can get them rather quickly. Again, with beans, of course, we need sunshine, the soil preparation, all the things we've talked about to this point are very, very important. And spacing, you'll probably have to thin the rows, but you can grow them in rows. And the key with beans, of course, unless you're growing pole beans, which are loads of fun too. I love, for example, the pole beans that they grow at Monticello in Thomas Jefferson's garden. They're just inspiring as they soar into the sky. But one of the keys is learning when to pick the beans and getting them just at that tender point and then enjoying them. The root vegetables are great, Skip, because as we talked about in the first segment, you know, there's a safety aspect, knowing how to grow vegetable plants for your family, to protect your family. And root crops are easy for canning or preserving, and we're talking about carrots, beets, radishes, turnips, and even rutabagas, which have really found popularity in the past few years. And again, the whole key, like we talked about with soil preparation, of course, a sunny spot, but with soil preparation, a soil that has the ability to hold moisture and yet not be saturated, that it drains properly, is the key. And then you're going to find success.
Mm-hmm. Now, Rick, for the sake of our preppers who are out there, and I'm not talking about the doomsday, crazy, lunatic preppers, you know, just people who want to be self-sufficient, talk to us about the difference between hybrid seeds and heirloom seeds.
Some people just simply believe, Skip, that heirloom seeds, which are not bred similarly to commercially bred seeds, that the fruit from those seeds does not look as shoppable, I'm going to say.
Sure.
In other words, not as beautiful as something you would find on the shelf in the produce market. However, the taste is amazing. Take tomatoes, for example. There are incredible heirloom tomatoes out there that maybe don't have the disease resistance mm-hmm. that some of your bred for commercial purposes tomatoes have, but the flavor is unreal. And so I encourage people, really from my vantage point, and people may disagree with me, but I would encourage people to try both. And do something that I always encourage people to do. Don't just look at the pretty picture on the front of the label. Read the back. Read the back. It gives you great information, days to harvest, or as it relates to the tomato plants we were talking about, Skip, it's going to tell you if a tomato is determinate, indeterminate, or semi-determinate, and that also is going to affect how you grow that tomato plant. In other words, the size of the tomato plant, whether you're growing in containers or in the ground. So, you know, from grass seed to vegetable plant, Skip, I always tell people, you know, they put a pretty picture on the front of the package for marketing purposes, but the info you need, you're going to get on the back of the label.
Mm-hmm. Now, tomatoes. I love growing tomatoes, but, you know, I've had so many problems over the years getting tomatoes to ripen up. It's like they'll get huge and big and green, and then sometimes they just rot on the vine. Yeah. What's going on with that?
Yeah. Well, one thing, of course, ethylene gases play a role. That's what speeds or produces the ripening of the tomatoes. So if they're green on the vine yet and frost is in the offing, you can, of course, wrap them in newspaper or in bags and get them to ripen indoors. But the cracking and the zippering of the fruit, or when they look strange on the bottom and they, as you call it, rot, we call that blossom end rot. And again, there are two factors involved here. Number one, calcium available to the plants, so important in order to avoid that blossom end rot. The other issue is water. And if a tomato plant dries out in between waterings, you can get blossom end rot, cracking and zippering. So right from the very start, when people plant the tomatoes, I recommend you take that little tomato plant and you pinch off some of the branches on the lower portion of the tomato, and you'll see that that stem is hairy in nature. Roots are going to grow out of that stem. Mm-hmm. Deep plant it. Plant it deeper than it currently is in the pot. Roots will grow from that. You will have a deeper root system for that tomato plant, better able to hold moisture as we go through the summer, because I'll tell you what, they do draw a lot of water out of the ground. And then you can avoid that rotting or that zippering of that fruit.
You know, Rick, one of the things that I really liked about your book is that you juxtapose people and plants, and there really are some similarities, and you've just told us about another one right now. You know, what happens to a plant when it's a child is the same thing that happens to people when they're children. The things that happen to you when you're little, they affect you, you know, through your whole life. And you've just given us another great example.
Well, there's no question about that, Skip. And we learn these lessons as we move on through life, or we interact with other people or plants. And I guess that's all part of the journey, and it makes us well-grounded, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, all of these things that you've been talking about, and more, a lot more, they're in your book, I Just Wet My Plants. How can people get a hold of your book, Rick?
Well, the book is available on Amazon, and the best way to find the links to get the book are to go to thankyouverymulch.com. That's thankyouverymulch.com. It's also available at Flowerland stores and in Schuler Books. And I'd have to say a big thank you very much to you, Skip. You were instrumental in helping me get this book to grow and get it off the ground. And so thank you very much also for being a friend and for your support.
All right. Hey, not a problem. Now, Rick, you have a book signing coming up. Tell us about that.
Book signing is going to be on May 19. That's Saturday, May 19, at the Kentwood Flowerland. That's 4321 28th Street Southeast. We're going to do something rather novel. We're going to do a book signing that is live on air on Wood Radio that morning from 9 to noon, May 19, at the Kentwood Flowerland. And you can go to myflowerland.com for more information and to sign up. It's free, and it should be a kick in the plants.
All right. Rick, this has been absolutely fantastic. Folks, I highly recommend you go on Amazon.com and get this book. Just search on Rick Veist, I Just Wet My Plants. And Veist is an unusual name, V-U-Y-S-T, Rick Veist. And check that out. You will love that pick. Or better yet, just show up May 19 at the Kentwood Flowerlands store. And you're going to love it there. I went to your store last week, and boy, it is fun just to walk around. You've got so many nice things there, Rick.
Well, thanks. It manages to keep us busy, especially at this time of the year, and it's fun to watch people enjoying the great outdoors, Skip.
All right. Okay, Rick, thank you very much for being on the Home Defense Show. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you very much, Skip. It's been a privilege and an honor. Thank you.
Okay, folks, we've got another two-minute break coming out. Go ahead and check out Amazon.com and go ahead and order Rick's book. You'll love it. You won't regret it, and it will revolutionize what you do with your gardening and help your production. Okay, this is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Welcome to my dad's Home Defense Radio Show. You're gonna love it.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Front Lines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
Skip, it's time for the Armed America Report. What do you have this week?
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, Wednesday morning in Detroit, 56-year-old Alan Ferris decided to begin a crime spree spanning 7 hours. The crime spree started about 9 p.m. Tuesday west of Detroit with an attempted carjacking and two other carjackings that left two women wounded. A third woman was forced to drive into the Detroit enclave of Highland Park, where she was dropped off. About 3:30 a.m. Wednesday, Ferris exchanged gunfire in Detroit with an undercover state trooper he tried to carjack. Police say shots were also fired when the officers saw Ferris behind a garage about 4 hours later. He was found dead, and no officers were wounded.
Thanks, Colonel. Carjackings are one of the easiest crimes to avoid because they require the cooperation of the victim in order to be successful. Despite that, carjackings continue to persist because drivers either don't know how to respond or don't have the courage to resist. Here are a few tactical tips you can use to prevail in the event you are carjacked. 1. Take advantage of exigent circumstances. You are behind the wheel of a 3,000-pound bullet. You can step on the gas and drive away, and that is by far the best tactical response. When you stop in traffic, always leave a car's length distance between you and the vehicle to your front. This gives you options and room to maneuver. If a deadly threat exists, don't hesitate to use that 3,000-pound bullet to your advantage. If that means running over your attacker or smashing into his motorcycle, then so be it. Just make sure your response is legally justified. 2. Always keep your doors locked anytime you are inside your vehicle. This keeps you from being surprised. When you see any sign of danger, just drive away, but always keep the car moving whenever possible. 3. Always carry your firearm when driving in big city traffic. One of my students was stopped at a Detroit traffic light when a man walked up to his car and rapped on his window with a pistol. My student nodded, drew his own firearm, and pointed it at the carjacker, who immediately fled. 4. Always operate at a heightened state of awareness when in the city. People tend to relax inside their vehicle because they feel invulnerable. Don't let this happen to you. And finally, 5. Also be aware that police officers refer to a car as a mobile coffin. If a gunfight ensues while you're behind the wheel, you will probably lose. That's why quickly driving away is usually your best option. And let's end it with one final tip for the bad guys. Colonel, guess what it is?
Don't do it.
Okay. More specifically, never try to carjack an off-duty state trooper. It's just not a good career move.
You know, and I'd add to that, if somebody does end up in your car, run into a telephone pole or something. You're behind the wheel and you got your seatbelt on.
That's right. I always have my seatbelt on.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. We have been speaking with Rick Veist from Flowerland and the new author of... I got this, okay? I'll edit all this out. How can I not know the name, right? Jeez, oh, please.
You're so sick of the book, how can you not know the name?
Oh, gosh. Okay, some of you are probably scratching your head right now and saying, what is going on? That intro there didn't quite fit. And, you know, I hesitated at putting that in there. Obviously, that's a blooper. There's a lot of things that goes on behind the scenes in doing a radio show, especially recorded shows, because you folks never get to hear what doesn't make the cut. You know, the mistakes that we make, when we're trying to record things. Recorded shows are much different than live shows. I mean, Rick Veist, he does a live show, for the last 25 years he's done it. And I think when you're doing a live show, you get much better at covering your mistakes or cleaning up your mistakes But I'm not very good at that. And I thought, you know, I spent probably the last 4 months of my life helping Rick to get this book, I Just Wet My Plants, published. White Feather Press published this for Rick. And, I did the editing. I read the thing cover to cover like twice. And it's just an awesome, awesome book. And I edited it, character by character edit. And it's just, how can you do that? You know, do the editing, the interior design, work on the cover, set it up into distribution. How can you do all of that? And then on a radio show, not remember what the title of the book is. And I just thought, I thought maybe you listeners might appreciate laughing at my dullardism. But I just made that word up. But hey, I hope you enjoyed the Rick Weiss interview. I'm certain that you did because, the guy is just awesome. If you get a chance, May 19, the Kentwood, Michigan Flowerland Garden Store, go to his book signing and just meet the guy in person. A super duper guy. Okay, well, we are. Oh, and one more time, if you want to buy his book and you can't make it to the book signing, just go to Amazon.com, search on Rick Weist, that's V-U-I-S-T, and I Just Wet My Plants, and you will pick that up. You're going to love it. It made it all the way up to number 2 in its genre within 2 days of the book launch. So the book is doing really well, and you're going to love it, and you'll enjoy it a whole bunch. Now, we need to transition into something not quite so happy. I'm pulling out my newspaper article here. Now, this is from the Hastings Banner. It's a little local paper. But you recall in segment 1, I said I am dedicating this show to my friend Dave Neeson. Dave Neeson, just a super duper guy, and one of my very good friends. I'm going to read the article that the Hastings Banner published on Dave. Body of Hastings man found submerged in creek. Not happy, not happy at all. A man who loved to go fishing and lived his life helping others with disabilities enjoy outdoor activities died April 30th while out fishing in Yankee Springs Township. A family member found his body submerged in the water at Hill Creek, where he often fished. Dave Neeson, 70, was recovered from the creek by a family member. The family member was a friend of mine as well. Brock found him, and I just can't imagine how traumatic that must have been for Brock. My heart goes out to Brock. Really good kid. Sorry, Brock. Sorry, folks. This is emotional for me. All right, because he did not return home from fishing that afternoon. The family member pulled Neeson from the water, then tried to resuscitate him. Neeson was pronounced dead shortly after 1 a.m. at Spectrum Health Panic Hospital. According to the Berry County Sheriff's Department, deputies were called at about 12:10 a.m. to the area of Kaiser Road near Upton Trail. A little backstory to this. I found out about this first from Darleaf, Sheriff Darleaf, another good friend. He sent me a text message saying that, David died, and later that morning, Dar called me and we were talking about it, and he told me that, when the deputies were there, there was a fish, a nice brown trout on Dave's line, still in the water. And my thought was, Dave, he loves to fish. He loves to fish. He loves to hunt. He probably got that fish on the line and was having trouble landing it and, had to get down close to the water, and that might be how he ended up in the water. But, you know, whatever else you say about this tragedy, you know, he went doing, while he was doing what he enjoyed most, hunting and fishing. Yankee Springs Fire Department, Yankee Springs Wayland First Responders, and Thornapple EMS assisted at the scene. Police do not believe any foul play was involved, but are awaiting autopsy results. Neeson was a paraplegic for more than 45 years after a motorcycle accident. An avid fisherman, he often went to that location at Hill Creek to fish because it was easy for him to roll his wheelchair up to the stream. Deputies found Neeson's wheelchair and clothing items in the creek. Neeson was a founding member and president of the Sportsman's Outreach Team, an organization that helps give disabled individuals adventures in deer and pheasant hunting and fishing. Participants don't have to pay to take part in any of the group's programs. The mission of the organization is simply to help people with disabilities get back into outdoor sports and recreations they thought they couldn't do anymore. The organization works with people who have suffered brain injuries or battled substance abuse, along with veterans from VA homes in Grand Rapids and Battle Creek, as well as students from the Barry Intermediate School District. Neeson also was a U.S. Army veteran serving in Japan and Vietnam, where he was wounded in action and received a Purple Heart and Bronze and Silver Stars. You know, that's another thing. You know, I knew Dave for 20 years. I didn't know he won the Bronze Star or the Silver Star. He never talked about it. He was such an unassuming, humble person that, and I know when someone dies, people are, oh, all you hear is good things about him. Well, but you know, with Dave, there weren't a whole lot of bad things to say about Dave. He was always smiling. He was always joking. I remember some of the things Dave would say would just crack people up. I mean, the little sayings that he had, and some of them, you know, when I was state director at Ted United Sportsmen and Dave was working with me, I'd ask him to do something. And it's like, no matter how busy he was, he never told me no. And I remember I'd tell him to do something, he'd say, "Hey, boss, I'm on it like a herd of turtles." And it's like, that's funny. That is funny. And he got the job done. There were some other sayings he had. "How you doing, Dave?" "Oh, man, I'm busier than a one-legged man in a butt-kicking contest." And it's like, Dave, you got no legs, okay? But, you know, he made it through life as a paraplegic, but you know, he could laugh at his predicament. He could laugh at himself, and it made other people around him laugh. And he just brought so much sunshine into people's life. And what's that other saying? Oh, he talked about how busy he was. He says I'm running around like a fart in a hot Skittle. And this is my sick, warped, twisted mind. But I would always envision this little fart going around and around in a black cast iron hot pan, as if there is such a thing. But I tell you, you know, the guy was just so humble. He didn't talk about his Silver Star or his Bronze Star or his Purple Heart. He didn't talk about it. He always looked forward, and he spent most of his time helping other people. You know, I can't say enough good things about Dave Neeson. All right, where was I here? A Middleville native, he graduated from Thornapple Kellogg High School in 1966. After his motorcycle accident, Neeson started a taxidermy business that lasted more than 30 years in the Gun Lake area. The family is asking for donations to the Sportsman's Outreach. Neeson will be laid to rest at Fort Custer National Cemetery. All right, that's the article. And, hey, I said goodbye to Dave Neeson yesterday at Fort Custer National Cemetery. And I know his kids and his grandkids and Vicky, they are all mourning his loss right now, grieving for the loss of a man that they're not going to see in a while. But you know what? Take heart, because, yeah, we're not going to see Dave for a while. But he gave us so many good memories. And I could just go on and on and on and on about some of the things that Dave and I went through and some of the things that he did. The man stood up for what he believed was right, even when it was going to cost him something. He was a patriot. Dave Neeson was an American patriot. He fought for his country. He was wounded. Bronze and silver stars, they don't just give those away for nothing. And I'm happy that he was laid to rest in a national cemetery surrounded by other brave patriots. And I look very much forward to seeing Dave again when I complete my life's journey. I think we'll go up there and we'll be sitting on a heavenly bank fishing. And you know what, Dave? You're going to have both your legs and you'll be able to jump and run and shout. You can get down to those brook trout that you normally couldn't get to. So I'm really looking forward to that. And my condolences to the family and all the friends. Once again, this show is dedicated to Dave Neeson, my friend from Berry County, Michigan. All right, folks. Man, we've covered a lot of stuff today. We've covered the yin and yang of life, life and death and spring and winter. We've done it all, but we've had a good show. Before we go, I just want to remind you, May 19 is a book signing for Rick Veist. I Just Wet My Plants. Go to Amazon.com and check that out. Veist, V-U-I-S-T. And also, while you're on Amazon, here's a shameless plug for my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry book. Check that out as well. You might as well buy both the books and save on shipping. Of course, check out our sponsors, ElitePhirearms.us and FirearmsLegal.com/MidwestTactical. Oh, boy. You know what? We are out of time, but I am going to go mushroom hunting today. As soon as I get this loaded onto the website, I am going out to get more mushrooms, and I'll tell you all about that next week. Okay, folks, that about wraps it up for this week's episode of the Home Defense Show. Until next week, remember, your purpose in life is to find something greater than yourself and serve it. Always remember, God, family, country, in that order. It's important how you live, but it's equally important how you die. Your family and the ones you love need your protection, so train, always train, stay alert, stay alive. Until next week on the Home Defense Show, this is your host, Skip Coriel. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America.
Thank you for joining us this week on The Home Defense Show. Now, get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best in home defense.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!